Did you know that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day? But don't take my word for it. Actually, you should take my word for it. And here's what you need to do. You need to go to ZipRecruiter.com/Zach. That's www.ZipRecruiter.com/Zach to learn more there about recruiting the best people for your business. The fastest, best people fast. You know that fast, good, cheap pyramid? Well, this is doing it all. This is fast, good, and yeah, you got to check out the pricing online. That's kind of above my pay grade, but ZipRecruiter, check it out. Too many ads. Here we go.
The Zach Kuhn Show.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi. Track 45.
Hello. What's up?
That's that Monday energy we need.
Yes.
Say that again.
That's the Monday energy we need, she said.
That is the Monday energy we need. I'm here to bring it.
It is.
Can you guys hear me?
We can.
You guys look so track 45 right now. I can't stand it. I don't know. And I don't even...
Hopefully, thank you.
Thank you.
You look almost just like track 45.
It's a great thing. I think Ben and I have got similar vibes. We've got the hat sweatshirt thing going. Ben, every time I see you, you're always in the sweatshirt. Why do we wear sweatshirts? It's like an easy
thing. So comfortable.
Same one. Just, he's got a new hat.
Do you wear sweatshirts like in the summer?
Yeah.
Dude, I do too. I don't know why. I just love wearing. I think it's, you know what it is? I think, are you in the South? Where are you?
I'm in Nashville.
But I'm
from New York.
Okay. Well, at least I was growing up in Mississippi. It's so hot outside that everybody runs their AC at like 65 degrees in the summer. And so then I like walk in places and I'm cold. So that's where I just take sweatshirts in the summer.
I that's it. Cause it's cold. Cause my apartment gets cold too. And I'll wear a sweatshirt inside.
Exactly.
Now, layers is the name of the game. You gotta have the tank top with the sweatshirt and the, you know, gotta have it all covered. So if you walk in somewhere cold, you're ready.
That's how I don't like to me, shorts and t-shirt is not my vibe. I always wear jeans. I'm always in a sweatshirt. That's my thing.
Yeah.
And Ben's thing too, I guess. Wait, so I was trying to figure out, have you guys ever done a podcast before?
Think this is
we've
probably,
done we've some. Done,
this feels like the most like podcast that we've ever done. This seems like
the most podcast.
I don't know. Have we done a podcast?
I tried to find one because I was trying to do some research. I was trying to find a podcast to get the story.
I feel like we've done some short ones.
Short ones. Yeah. We can get the story here. Like normally, I think getting the story is kind of boring because I feel like everyone always gets it. But I don't know if it's ever been told. Has the track 45 story ever been told in its entirety?
No, I don't think so.
Well, I don't know if you want to give us too much time.
That might be the real scoop.
I don't know if you want to give us too much time because then we'll get off track and you'll be like, what are they talking about?
Is this keep us on course for a little ADD?
No. I want the story because I think the story is really interesting. We're gonna brush through it because there's a ton of things I want to talk about. But so you guys are from Median, Mississippi. Am I saying this correctly?
No, Meridian.
Meridian, yeah. Mississippi. I know nothing about this town. Home of Jimmy Rogers.
Yep.
Big country music history here.
Claim to fame.
But I was looking at some photos of this town. This town looks very, I don't know, how do you, small town? Is that the word?
Yeah. It's a quintessential small town.
Small town's a good descriptor.
How many people, it's like 40,000 people. Like how many people did you guys go to school with?
Well, when we were growing up, the town was about 30,000 people.
That's with the surrounding counties.
But now I think it might be a little bigger, but I'm not real sure. We went to school with 3 people because we were homeschooled.
Are you serious? You guys were homeschooled?
Homeschooling, yep.
Holy cow. How did that work? Did your mom or did your parents teach you, or did you have tutors come in?
No. That'd be awesome. No, we were.
She did most of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So our mom homeschooled all 3 of us. So we grew up in school together. And
At a certain point, I guess in high school, we just kind of taught ourselves.
Like you do a lot of it on your own.
Yeah, a lot of it's on your own. Yeah. Like KK, we moved to Nashville when KK was 15. KK did her last 2 years of high school by herself.
Yeah, so, she kind of just taught us how to be lifelong learners and how to kind of, you know, so by the time I was 15, I was kind of doing my stuff online and I moved to Nashville and I was able to do it and finish up my
last. You're getting way ahead of the story.
Yeah, I did.
But I want to talk about this for a second because first of all, I loved there's a YouTube series that talks about your guys. I love that your parents are in that And that's really fun to see. But I'm the kind of person where, like, there's no way I would have been motivated enough to teach myself high school. It never would have happened. But you guys just had, or I guess Kiki specifically, when you moved here, you just had the motivation to do it. I grew up playing in bands, and it was hard enough going to regular school to show up to class because I was playing in bands, playing guitar. You guys were on your own, homeschooled. You had to find the motivation to do it. You were actually able to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it was that when I moved here, I knew I wanted to do music, and thankfully our parents were supportive enough, and they let us do that and move here when I was so young and trusted us, which is, looking back, is like, yeah, that was pretty crazy. But to me, I was like, I want to get through school. I want to get it done so I can do music. Like, I know this is what I want to do, so I want to get done as fast as I can. And I was like, yeah, that was kind of my motivation, was always to get to being able to do music full time. And so, yeah.
And who are your friends? Like, as you're getting homeschooled, where were you meeting people your age? Like, what were they doing in Meridian? Were they also playing music? Were there other people? Like, who do you look back at and go, haha, we're crushing it and you didn't believe in us? Like, who are the people back in the hometown that you guys, like, grew up being friendly with?
That's funny. All the haters, now we can look back.
Now we can look back at the haters. Are there any when you're homeschooled? Maybe there are less haters. Like, yeah, I have teachers and friends and things that my classmates
were so mean.
Yeah.
Bullied me all the time.
No, we actually never had a hard time making friends. I think there's like a little homeschool scene in our town, which is funny. I think there was like maybe like 200 other people who homeschool, not people, like other kids who homeschooled. So like we could kind of hang with them, but we made a lot of church friends. We were like real involved in sports and stuff. So like making friends in a small town is not ever a tough thing to do, I don't think.
I mean, we did theater growing up too.
Yeah, there's all sorts of different places to make friends. So it was actually easier, I think, because we had a lot more free time. Like we could finish our work by 12 every day. And so we could practice instruments, do the band, go up, play shows, but also go hang out with friends. And like, I don't know, it was, you know, don't regret a single day of being homeschooled. We had a lot of artists, musicians
are homeschooled. I feel like that's a common thread between a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's cool because a lot of people think homeschooling, like, oh, you just don't do anything, you sit at home. It's like, no, growing up, our mom was super supportive of us just being involved in anything and everything we could. We did horseback riding, and, you know, he did baseball and soccer and tennis and all this stuff.
It cut down on the busy work of school, so it was more flexible so that we could do a lot more things and travel with our music more, too.
Yeah.
And what, did you guys, like, have a homeschool dance or something? Like
banquet.
Like, It wasn't prom, it was banquet. Was there actually a homeschool banquet?
Yes.
Oh man, yeah. There's all sorts of weird homeschool stuff.
Wait, and then what's the age difference between you guys?
I'm the oldest.
So Jenna's the oldest.
6 years apart.
Benjamin.
Y'all always say this
in
the weirdest way.
Weird order.
Jenna's like, I'm 6 years between KK and 18 months between Benjamin. But KK is like also 4 months.
Sorry, I'm the oldest.
I'm middle. KK's youngest.
You're middle. Okay. I'm the youngest, so there's a lot of perks to being the youngest. But I heard your parents say that you were the ones that had that, KK, that you were the ones who were going to take care of everyone else when you guys moved to Nashville, right?
I mean,
isn't that what they said? Because I can't take care of my siblings. They take care of me. I couldn't hold that torch. So how do you get the gig at Dollywood? Was it Dollywood? Because this is like a big deal. Like, you guys were like too young to get this gig. Nobody thought you were going to get it. And somehow you guys get this gig. The odds are stacked against you. How do you get this gig? This is a big deal, right?
Okay, so here's what happened. Should I start before Dollywood?
I would start before.
Okay, so here's the thing. When we were younger, We all took piano from our grandma, and we all started wanting to play different instruments. And so our mom told us, you know, if you want to play different instruments, you know, you can save up and buy it yourself and really show that you are committed and want to do that. So
how did you save? Where did you get money from?
So I personally, KG, I loved having garage sales, which was a fun pastime for me. Yeah. And how I saved money, I worked on a farm. I also babysat a lot. And then.
Yeah, I mean, at that age, I don't remember what I was doing at that age. I would like, you know, pick up. Later. I wouldn't teach lessons when I was that young, but I'd like go in the yard and pick up pine cones or whatever. You know, like. We just do little things. I mean, we were
the
still.
The lucrative
like,
act of picking up pine cones. That's
you know what I'm talking about. I mean, I was 9 years old.
That's
so.
True. Okay, I guess I was not babysitting.
Is that a job? Like, people want you to pick up the pine cones from their yard?
Oh yeah, for sure.
and leaves. And
yeah, stuff. Well, yeah. In Mississippi, there's so many pine trees, and the pine cones are everywhere, so people pay you. Yeah,
dollar bag.
Yeah, you do a dollar bag.
That sounds like good. That's a lot of instrument, or that's a lot of bags to get a cello,
well,
right?
I mean, my cello was $150, so it was not a high quality instrument.
It's like a cardboard cello.
It did not take too many bags, but
yeah. So Benjamin picked cello.
Yeah, I picked
and
cello.
And then Jenna picked guitar, and I picked fiddle. And we kind of just started playing instruments and being around the house. We were like, oh, we can play these instruments together and, yeah. You know, learn songs. And so the first song we learned was a song called Jambalaya. Mm-hmm.
Classic.
And we knew like two chords, maybe three.
I think there's three chords in Jambalaya, but we would have to skip every third chord because we didn't know how to play.
Yeah. So, yeah. So then our first gig, you know, we always say we started out in the nursing home circuit. Mm-hmm. That was our first gig. And you know, from there we started playing bigger nursing homes.
So, yeah. We just played all the nursing homes.
Yeah.
We only had one song. That was it.
Yeah. So from there we would just, you know, play around town.
Great rotation.
Word of mouth. And, yeah, so we were, like you mentioned, we were on a vacation with our parents. And they were having Dollywood auditions, and we weren't old enough to audition, so but we wanted to. My mom just thought, oh, you know, this would be a fun learning experience for them. They'll tell them they can't do it, and it'll be, you know, it'll
fun
be
fun learning experience. They'll crush their dreams.
She's like, they'll give them feedback.
You know, they'll maybe give them some feedback. So we went in. They're like, oh, since you have your own instruments, we'll let you come in and play.
Yeah.
And so we went in there, and they ended up offering us a week-long gig at a bluegrass and barbecue festival at Dollywood, playing four shows a day. And we didn't know what bluegrass was at the time.
We went home and got our All-Star Bluegrass DVD with like Ricky Skaggs and all these legends. And we're like, oh no.
What did we get ourselves?
We're gonna have to practice really hard.
So we ended up playing that. And at the end of the week, I had my 10th birthday there, which was really cool. And we looked at each other and we said, this is what we want to do for the rest of our lives.
We love performing.
Yeah, I think on the drive back home, we were just like talking about how fun it was. And then like, what if we got to do this forever? Like, that'd be cool. So that was kind of the moment we were like, okay, let's try to do this forever. KK was, yeah, you said you were 10.
I was
10.
So yeah.
Just turned.
I was a long road from there. 13, or so maybe like, almost 14. And then Jenna
like
was
14. 15.
16, yeah.
15.
Early to commit. But when the music bug gets you, you know, right? It's
You know.
Wait, so then what happens? Because then you guys run into Marty Gamblin at a gig somewhere, right? And then he tells you that you have to move to Nashville. And does he bring you to Nashville, or how do you guys end up in Nashville?
So yeah, we were playing shows around our hometown and kind of around Mississippi and Alabama, all during high school. And then it was almost the time for us, Jen and I, to go to college. And we were thinking, you know, where do we need to go? We love playing music, but can we make it if we go to like Ole Miss? Can we make it from Ole Miss? You know, like, how do we do this? And we knew Nashville was a big music city. I mean, and so, but we didn't have the confidence, you know, to do it. We didn't know how good we were, if we were terrible or, you know, Nashville's a big city with a lot of talented people.
Wait, so did you ever take formal music lessons other than your grandma teaching you piano? Did you guys ever take like lessons, or are you completely
self-taught? We did take some. We took some lessons, yeah. But most were self-taught. Yeah, we self-taught mostly. YouTube, a lot of YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube. You learn anything on YouTube?
Yeah.
We took fiddle and cello lessons, and but all the other instruments we kind of just picked up and started learning ourselves. Yeah.
Okay, so you're trying to figure out where to go to college.
Yeah, and so
the homeschooled person to enter a real classroom, that probably sounds horrible.
Well, actually, we have a community college in our town. And so we had started going to class. I actually started going there when I was 15. Jenna was young too. So we just kind of, because we were homeschooled, we're like, well, we might as well just go take some classes at the community college, get some college courses out of the way.
Yeah, right.
So we had kind of known a little bit about the real world.
You got the vibe. It's not good. It's not good.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, we were playing this show called the Sukanachi Review. And
radio show.
Yeah, it was like a radio show, and it was a live radio show, and it was cool because it was at the same moment we're like, we have no idea how we're going to make this dream work. And this man named Marty Gamblin came up to us after our show and said, hey, I don't know you guys at all, but I just wanted to let you know, I'm, you know, I've got a had a career in the music industry, and I think y'all have what it takes. You guys need to move to Nashville. And we're like, oh my gosh, that was like perfect timing. We had like, it's like answered prayer, you know. And so we got to know him a little bit, and we said, well, give us advice, you know, what can we do? And he said, well, save up your money for a year, because we couldn't afford to move there at that point. So we saved up our money for a year, and then we made the plunge. We all three of us moved up here together. Our parents did not move here with us. Everybody asks us that.
They're still in Mississippi.
Isn't that like I have so many friends whose parents moved with them as they moved to Nashville. And I'm always like, dude, like, why? Like, you're a grown up. Like, you don't need your parents moving down here with you. No offense to anyone whose parents moved here with them. But like, aren't you glad that your parents aren't like down your hair every second when you're down here?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's good to be independent. And
they definitely encourage that and were supportive of us doing it on our own because they realize, like, if you love it enough, you're going to go and chase it. And they were supportive but never pushy about it. They were just like, go chase it.
And find your wings.
You know, had just enough of the crazy to let a 15-year-old go.
Have a life. You don't want to move.
And I was the legal guardian. So that's awesome.
Yeah, and you were the legal guardian?
Which is, looking back, terrifying.
Oh, my God. Okay, but that guy, when that guy says that, isn't that kind of looking back? Like, I guess he knew what he was talking about, but I feel like people always say that after shows and they always have no idea what they're talking about. Like, kind of crazies at shows, but he actually knew what he was talking about.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We found out. So he had helped, you know, start Alan Jackson's career and also Glenn Campbell and also like Brian White and like a lot of pretty, you know, he had a lot of cred, more than your average showgoer, I guess. But he was so instrumental, and we can't, you know, it's weird thinking back now, you know, there's even, you know, walking down the street and you see a street musician, this is a weird kind of place I'm taking this, but, and you're like, hey, give him $1. And you're like, hey, when you see something to appreciate, I feel like you should always tell people how you feel. Mm-hmm. Because thinking back now, if he had not come backstage and just simply said, hey, I think y'all are really good, like, our lives would look completely different right now.
Really? You think so? Anyway, you think you want to move to Nashville?
I don't know. We might have, but it would have been a much different journey. I'll just say
that. Yeah, he was very instrumental in how we moved to Nashville.
He was confident to do it.
And was very supportive and helpful. He gave us a lot of advice and, you know, still talk to him. He was a great friend and a great mentor.
Just an encourager, someone to call for the highs and call for the lows. Mm-hmm.
Did he have a talk with your parents to be like, this is what's gonna, this has to happen? Like, was he the one who talked them off the ledge? Or your mom seemed pretty hip. They might have been off the ledge already. She might have said, Nashville, take them. I don't need them anymore.
You know, our parents were always very good about telling us to chase our dreams and to not give up on them. They were never the type to be like, no, you must do that. Go get a 9-to-5 and do this. No, they're like, do what makes you happy. Life is too short not to do what you love. And that, looking back, we're super, super grateful.
Wait, what do your parents do?
So our dad builds fences. He works on
fencing
construction. And then our mom, obviously, when we were growing up, she was homeschooling us, but now she works at our community college in the arts department.
She has a theater program.
Yeah.
I love theater. Wait, I want to know, before we move on, what shows were you guys in?
Oh, man.
We were in a lot of shows growing up.
Sound of Music, Les Mis.
Yeah, I mean, a ton.
Oh, a ton. I mean,
Hairspray.
I think our favorite was Les Mis.
Yeah, Les Mis.
We were all three
great.
In that one. Yeah.
Who were you guys? I was Ben, Jean Valjean. Were you really?
Yeah, I was.
I'll try to guess. Who was Jenna? She was Cosette.
I was gonna guess that, but then I was like, am I thinking Cosette because she's the only female character in the show? That
she is like the only female character.
I know you're gonna guess this too, but I was the old lady who bought the hair.
I was actually about to say Cosette, but I was going through the other characters in that show to guess. But you should have given me a second, I would have gotten it.
Ebony
and Cosette,
yeah. Ebony and Cosette. You only like three or four roles.
I was in the chorus, but my biggest role was the old lady who bought the hair.
That's right.
Yeah. It's a big role. It's a big role.
It was a lot, but I feel like I took it on pretty well.
Okay, so wait. So we moved to Nashville, and then you guys are here like for like 2 years, like writing, hustling. Like, what does this look like? Like, you guys are just constantly writing, trying to pay your rent, going around. What's the hustle?
We transferred schools. So Jenna went to Lipscomb. I was in Belmont. And then KK was, of course, 15, homeschooling herself.
She came with me a lot, actually.
Yeah. So we were, a lot of it was just learning how, like, this is so dumb, but like, listen to this. Like, we didn't know how to parallel park. Like, we did not know any, like, our town is small. Like, we never had the parallel park. So, like, I remember the first show we wanted to go to was at the Parthenon. They were having, like, this park festival. And the only place we could find was this parallel parking space. And I was driving, and I could not figure out how to get the freaking car in there. And then Jenna gets out, and she's trying. And then we eventually just gave up and left. Like, we didn't freaking – if I wish there was a camera that saw this. But it was, like, a lot of just adjustment to, like, living on our own and living in the big city. But we're practicing our songs every night. We're writing songs all the time. I guess the next big thing development-wise looking back that happened was we met a guy named Rivers Rutherford, who's, like, a Hall of Fame songwriter in town. And it was funny because we didn't understand really the concept of co-writing songs.
What's his big song? I know who has big song.
It's like When I Get Where I'm Going. And
oh my God, it's like the best Brad Paisley song. And then he wrote my favorite Brooks and Dunn song.
Yeah, I was about to say Brooks.
Ain't Nothing About You. Don't
that is like
me.
My favorite Brooks and Dunn
song. Me too.
So legend. He's a legend. And it's so funny looking back that he's just this legendary songwriter that anybody who knew anything about music and the music business would just be bowing at his feet. And we're like, oh, hey, how are you going?
So, he came up to us after a show and was like, hey, I would love to write with you guys. But we didn't know co-writing. So we were like, no, we write our own songs. Thanks. You know, like, we didn't understand. He's like, no, like, we can write songs together. You know,
that's what we do here.
That's what we do. And I was like, oh, okay. So that was a good learning experience. So he was our first co-write in Nashville.
He showed us
the ropes and was great. I mean, you know, mentor to have for early on here. So that was the first big thing.
Yeah. So I think, you know, when we're in Nashville and we got to Nashville, we also, one thing we did was we had tons of sticky notes on the wall, our dream vision board, I guess you would call it. And just all the little goals to everything from, you know, get a co-write to win a Grammy, you know? And so we just started going through those sticky notes and trying to accomplish those goals. And, you know, songwriting was a huge part of that because now in Nashville, we realized really quickly that having good songs is where it all starts. Mm-hmm. And so learning how to co-write, learning how to produce our own stuff, because that was one way we realized we could get into songwriting rooms was being able to produce and knowing how to work Logic and how to record our own stuff. So that was kind of where we
did a lot of that.
We started out and went from there.
Do you guys ever think, like, sometimes I'm like, do you ever think, like, ACMs were last night? Like, if what's our ACM debut performance going to be? Like, do you work through it in your heads? Like, what do you think it's going to be? Have you talked about it when it happens?
Oh, yeah. We'll probably figure out the details as we get closer to it. But, yeah,
would be a dream come true.
Yeah. That's definitely one of the sticky notes. You know, we still got them.
Still working on them.
The Track 45 ACM debut performance. I don't know when it's gonna happen, but it's gonna be good. It's gonna be good. Wait, and then how'd you go? Oh yeah, what were you gonna say?
I said, heck yeah, next year, let's go.
Yeah,
next year, 2022, back in Vegas.
Well, yeah, exactly. We wanted to wait till it was back in Vegas. We didn't want to be
But don't you ever think about do you ever fantasize? Like, I'm the kind of guy who's always like, if I was on Jimmy Fallon, like, this is what I would say to Jimmy Fallon. Like, I've got my monologue, intro thing worked out. Like, I've got the banter, you know what I mean? Don't you guys go like, oh my God, when we play the ACMs, we're going to do, it's going to be this thing, this big thing. Like, do you think, but I mean, I guess, have you guys done any like big full band shows yet? Or has everything been shut down, basically?
We were lucky to get to do our radio tour with our full band. But it was, you know, our virtual radio tour. So, yeah, we've gotten to do some full band stuff, but not like our new music, you know, all the way.
And not with a live audience.
Live audience. Which
the Amazon show was the closest, because that was with our
full
band.
Yeah, we did an Amazon show.
And it was hand clapping, so.
Yeah.
Was that the CRS? That was the CRS event, right? That was a great performance. And I actually saw you guys play at Whiskey Jam.
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh, wow,
like 2 years ago? Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah, that was, which was cool because.
That was a fun night.
Was that a full band? I'm trying to remember.
I think it was just us.
I think we had a drummer.
No, I think it was just, was it? Yeah, maybe we did have a drummer.
I feel like we had a drummer. That was so fun.
That was, oh man, live music. We're so ready. We're so ready to be
live in front of music.
That energy.
Is anything on the books yet for you guys, or is it still up in the air?
Some stuff, but we're not supposed to like announce it because it could still be canceled.
It could still be canceled. Okay, so we're not gonna. We don't want to get any hopes up. Okay, wait, but you guys are all like, you guys all learned how to produce also, right? Like Ben, like you've done a ton of production. Didn't you, you co-produced this entire project, but you've worked with some other producers. Did you guys, who told you to, that you had to learn how to produce, or how'd you figure out how to produce and go in Pro Tools and Logic?
I was going to say that was just pretty natural because we had an old Mac computer in our basement at our house in Mississippi. And when we were teenagers, we would go down there and, you know, fuss around recording our own CDs and stuff like that. So we've always just kind of, we've never had a lot of money. So we've always kind of had to figure out anything we wanted to do on our own to try to save money. So like, that was one of the things we learned how to do. It was like, we couldn't afford to go in studios. So we learned how to record ourselves. So when we moved to Nashville, that was a big thing we could use to entice people to want to write with us or whatever. It's like, hey, we can record our own demos. Hey, we know how to use Pro Tools. We know how to use Logic. We can, you know, produce our own, you know, projects. So
it's a little leg up.
Yeah, obviously we weren't very good. We've definitely gotten a lot better, but that's something we've always kind of had in our arsenal.
I was gonna say, is that where the creativity comes from having like limited resources, not a lot of money? You've got to get scrappy. You've got to figure out how to work. Like creativity comes when you put it in a box, right? And then you have to figure out how to get out of it.
Yeah, that's actually just what I was about to say. It was a big part. Producing was a big part of the creativity and forming our sound, because just the camaraderie of it, of just being around, having a mic and just playing a guitar lick or, you know, singing a part and just, you know, bringing it all together, kind of helped us create our sound.
I mean, it's funny. Sometimes I'll have a sound on a record and people are like, how did you get that sound? It's like, well, it's my crappy guitar. I couldn't afford a better one. You know? like, oh,
sometimes it pays.
Yeah. Sometimes people are spending thousands of dollars to have a terrible sounding guitar. I'm just like, I just have a terrible sounding guitar. I can
That's so true. Some of the best guitar tones are crappy guitars.
I'm
a big Jack White fan, right? And on those White Stripe sounds, he was playing crappy guitars. Do you guys have like a massive feud with the other rising trio in town, Avenue Beat? Like, what can we say about Avenue Beat? Can we trash them right here? I'm just kidding.
We love Avenue Beat. They're great. Actually, part of the band lives in the same apartment complex I do. So we're neighbors.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I just wrote with one of the members last week. So we're.
But there's got to be, come on. Yeah. There's got to be a little competition here. There's got
to
be.
Not at all. I'm writing with Savannah tomorrow.
I think they're so good. They motivate us to be good. You know.
Also they're pop too. So it's kind of different.
Yeah. It's a different vibe. Different lanes. I see it.
Here's our thing. There's lots of trios and duos or whatnot, but it's like, there's really, it's a lot easier to support and cheer on everyone. And it's too hard to do this. Like we just try our best to just be, you know, positive.
Yeah. That's a great thing.
That's
about
so true, right?
Like you can cheer on the other people coming up with you and just cheer on the people around you.
Yeah. There's no reason to.
Life is too short not to be happy for other people.
Yeah,
and you're better off, you know, being friends and collaborating. I'm just joking. I mean, they're great people also.
Well, you're trying to get.
I'm trying to get some. I want to start a beef here. I want to start like a little rivalry.
We could start a fake rivalry.
You're looking for that headline.
I want that headline. I want that rivalry. Yeah, I'm not that guy. That's not me.
We could make it like Jimmy Fallon and Matt Damon, you know.
This is what I want. I want to start like a country music rivalry between.
All right, we'd be out for that.
And maybe we could do like a charity kickball game against each other or something.
It'll be like, kind of like that.
I feel confident in saying we could be Avenue Beat in any sport.
We will take them on.
They might build a stack team. What I want to know is who Ashley Gourley would play for on this team. Because he might be the most athletic person in the mix, if I'm not mistaken.
It'd be a tough call for him.
He might have to be the referee.
Got vested interest in everyone.
He might have to be the rep. So okay, but wait, but on this last project, or I guess this current project, Byron Gallimore is producing, who's a legendary producer, of course, Tim McGraw, Faith Hill, many others.
Yeah.
What does he bring to the mix? Because Ben, you guys are all crazy talented. Do you need Byron? What does Byron bring to the table on this record that we had to pull him in?
So, first of all, yes, we needed Byron.
We needed Byron.
a ton to the table. So we kind of came from this do it ourselves, cobble things together approach. And Byron has made 100 number one records. So there's no doubt in our minds we needed Byron. He really helped develop our sound. You know, he has such great ears. He can listen to music and identify very quickly the points in the production that need shoring up, that need energy. And so he was absolutely integral in making this record, and we would not be here without him, no doubt. Mm.
He's the guy. Were you going to say something, Jenna?
Oh, I was just going to say he's so kind, dude. Just like a really fun person to be around in the studio. And he always was patient about taking time to, you know, answer our thousands of questions and just kind of take moments to teach us stuff too.
Yeah, it was super collaborative because we'd come in, we'd basically start in our method of locking ourselves in the studio for 3 days and working on a song and building it out how we thought it could be. And then we take it to him and he'd go, okay, let's try this here, this here, this here. Let's go in with a live band here and do these points. So it was really a collaborative process and man, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So wait, so how's that work? So do you go in, do you pick the songs in advance? I'm assuming that you're going to cut, right? Mm-hmm. And then do you go in, do like pre-production with him? Like do the three of you and him play through the songs and sort of put together an arrangement, or do you just go straight into the studio with a band? How's it work?
Yes. So the process was, yes, we picked the songs and we, like you said, we locked ourselves in, got the songs to what we thought was a good place to start with them. A demo.
So we'd basically demo them out where we'd record the guitar, we'd put fiddle on it, we'd sing point, you know, we do the whole thing.
We got it to where we could get it. And then we took it to Byron, and, you know, we live in Nashville where there are the most incredible session musicians in the world, and got to put them on the record and fill it out and make it sound the best it could sound, and just kind of, you know, balancing out the our parts and their parts. And like you said, Byron just knows how everything should fit and was really, really amazing about doing that.
You can put the puzzle together.
I always think it's funny when you're in a session with like the best session players in the world and they get it on the first take. And to them, it's like, there's always like a marvel of like, oh, that was great. We got on the first take. And that is amazing. While that is amazing, they literally always get on the first take. But it's always amazing to them. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Do you agree with this?
Yes. Yeah, next level. What's also amazing. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, they're always like, that was incredible. The first take, we got it. I was like, literally, they always get it on the first take every single time.
Yeah.
It's so true. It's funny.
Yeah.
That's what I think. So what's the process releasing this record? Because you guys have put out like a couple EPs. The second EP just came out. Dreaming Big. Do I have this right? That's what it's called, right?
Big Dreams,
followed by Small Towns, or Small Towns came first, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm butchering this.
How could you?
Small Towns and then Big Dreams, but Big Dreams kind of has Small Towns in it. We've added a couple songs. Who comes up with this? What's the release strategy here?
Okay, so here's the thing. You know, in our music, we really like to tell stories and tell you more about who we are. And so the idea of it was, we released Small Town, which really tells you a lot about how we grew up in a small town. And then Big Dreams, which followed Small Town, was inspired by moving from the small town to the big city and chasing our dreams. And we're going to keep continuing.
And the new songs tell that story.
Yeah, and the new songs tell that story. And we're going to continue telling our story through our music with new music to come soon. And we just want to keep continuing to tell our story through our music. And
so be on the lookout. The third part is coming soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a next part
to
this.
There's a third piece.
There's a third. And is that going to be the final part? The third part?
That'll be the final part of this
EP.
Of the series. Track 45, Making It in Nashville, the single Ship to Radio, Met Me Now, which is a great song, by the way. I
Thank
love
you.
This song. Super catchy chorus. Really into this. I can't sing. What are the parents like? Are the parents proud that they made the right decision? It seems like to send their kids to Nashville unaccompanied. I mean, have they claimed, you know, that they were brilliant to do so?
Sure. I'm sure they claimed it.
You know, we've been here 7 years. So, I mean, this is 7 years in the making. So they've definitely seen a lot of highs and lows on our journey. So I think they're happier than we are probably almost.
Yeah,
even.
They're definitely calling our local radio station and, you know, you're playing Met Me Now, right? You know,
is Nashville a 10-year town, as they say?
They do say 10 years. So we're getting there.
Yeah,
so.
Man, it's pretty close.
I think you guys might hit superstardom in that 10th year.
That's right.
I think that could happen.
We'd be okay with an 8-year as well.
With an 8-year town too. Why not? Track 45. By the way, I love the playlist that you guys created independently.
Oh,
on Spotify. I want to pull these up. Hold on. Let's go through these for a second. Because there's a lot of things here that that you would expect, but there's a little bit of, there's some unexpected stuff. A lot of I love the Lauv on here. Okay, I'm on Kiki's playlist. I'm trying Coldplay is interesting. Big Coldplay fan.
We all love Coldplay.
All love Coldplay and Dawes too.
Oh,
a little
yeah.
of a plot twist there, right?
Yeah.
Which one?
I think I did Crack the
Case. Did you do Dawes? I might have to.
Crack the Case by Dawes.
That's a good song. That's
great song, right? What do we think is the most embarrassing song on all of your playlists combined?
You know what? I should probably be more embarrassed, but I'm not really embarrassed, I don't think.
Mine might be Teenage Dream by Katy Perry.
I'm proud of it. Not the most manly song ever.
By the way, Ben, you put one of your own songs on here.
You did.
I was hoping no one would notice.
Wait, I think I put one of yours. You put one on your own.
Did I put Give Heaven Some Hell?
Wow.
Give Heaven Some Hell.
Okay, well that is.
That's just song. You know what? I know I wrote that song, but I'm more proud of that song maybe than any other song I've ever written. So
can you tell me? First of all, I thought the Hardy album was that album that like every hook was just like the most genius hook ever. Like he's just like the hook guy. But yeah, everyone, I remember when the song came out and everybody was like, oh, that song is so good.
Hey, well, fun fact, he's the dead guy in the music video, you know?
I got to rewatch the video.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to rewatch the video. Were you just lying in the coffin or whatever? Or like?
No, the way it's done, it's like, it's more like flashbacks to when I was when that character or whatever was alive. So it's more like the memories. And then they carry me out in a casket in the end.
I got to rewatch this. I saw it when it first came out, but I got to rewatch it. But how did that song get ran? I know that's not really a track 45 thing, but I'm just so curious because I feel like everybody talks about the hook of that song, how clever that is. Like, what happened that day?
So it was Hardy and then our buddy Hunter Phelps and I were writing. And we wrote this song called Truck, which is the first song on his album.
Which that's another song where I remember listening to that song and I was like, how good could a country song called Truck be?
Truck, yeah.
And then it's like an amazing song. Like that's, or like a rock with like every song on that record was like the worst title ever. And that was like the most genius song ever.
It's funny,
like,
isn't it?
Okay, so you had written Truck already.
He's amazing. Yeah, he's also just 30 minutes from our hometown. He's from Philadelphia, Mississippi. But we had written the song called Truck. And in the second verse of Truck, we were writing it. And there's a line in there that says, "Bet there's stories about his best friend that he can barely tell because he misses him like hell." And while we were writing it, Hardy actually said, "Bet there's stories about his best friend that he can barely tell. And he's giving heaven some hell," just like as a line. And I immediately was like, dude, that sounds like a whole song, like just called Give Heaven Some Hell. And so we stopped writing Truck for a second and we sketched out everything of what Give Heaven Some Hell might sound like or what it would talk about. And we said, well, we're going to be writing again next week. Let's come back and then finish it. And so we got back together the next week with Ashley Gourley, who's the greatest songwriter ever. And so we wrote that whole song in 30 minutes. I remember
30 minutes.
Playing these piano chords that were this is kind of embarrassing, but it was the same chords to Halo by Beyonce. And so I was like, well, these are kind of angelic chords or whatever. We'll toughen them up. But, and 30 minutes, the whole song was done. And we were like, all like, just, you know, so pumped and crying and excited. And it was amazing. It was one of the most special, you know, nights writing ever.
Okay, wait, a couple questions. One is in that line in Truck when he says, because he misses him like hell, that's like my favorite part of the song when he like screams that line at the end. But was that a production choice or in the writing room? You're like, man, you got to scream this line because he misses him. Like he goes insane on that line.
No, that's how we wrote it. Yeah. And that was, that whole verse is really cool because it talks about having numbers on the back of cars and everybody remembers growing up and seeing, you know, the years of someone's life on the back of cars trying to commemorate people. And that's how that whole thing came about, was just real life stuff. So, yeah, that's special getting to see how those songs affect people, especially Give Heaven Some Hell. Just like how many people message us and say like, hey, since this song has come out, my brother has passed away and we played this song at his funeral. And this is like such a source of encouragement, you know, hearing how much that song affects people. So that's why I put it on that playlist, because I've got so many messages about how positively it affects people's life. So it's a special one.
That's a great song. Great choice for the playlist. Okay, let's go through Jenna's really quickly. I'm just curious.
I'm curious. No, this is all like what I'd expect. This is honestly, this is exactly what you'd expect, because it's a lot of country with a little bit of pop mixed in. That's what I think of when I think of track 45.
Heck yeah.
This all makes a lot of sense. Maroon 5 on here. Very predictable. If anything, too predictable these days.
What Maroon 5 song?
I think Memories.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Is that on here? Oh, yeah. Wait. Memories. Maroon 5?
Wasn't that the one I did?
No.
I don't remember.
You know your playlist.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's been a while since. I'm
trying to think. I'm going through, I guess I don't know your entire catalog, but I feel like I know most of what you've written. I don't know. I see it. But Gabe Dixon is actually incredible.
Oh,
but not many people know about him, but he's insane.
Yeah, okay. So was that our first show we went to?
Our first show we successfully made it to in Nashville.
Yeah.
Was Gabe Dixon.
Yep.
He's ridiculously good. Does anybody know about I thought I was the only one who knew about him. Does anybody
I thought
else,
I was too. Yes.
I thought look at those. What's the deal with him? Like he's so okay. good.
He's so good. He played like a pop-up kind of show at Centennial, and that was one of the first shows we went to when we came to Nashville. Mm. And then have seen him in shows since then. But yeah, he's a gem.
He's a Nashville
treasure. Was this the show where we were trying to figure out how to parallel park?
I don't know
if it was the same show or if it was a different one.
By the way, have you figured it out? Because I'm not a great parallel parker myself, so I'm always looking for tips.
I'm pretty good now.
Hake is really good.
I don't want to brag because I'm very realistic about my driving. I'm not a great driver, but parallel parking, I pride myself in not having to readjust.
You also
I'm
learned, a good parallel she learned parker. To drive in Nashville. I mean, she was 15 when we moved.
Oh, so. That's true, actually. So do you take like driver's ed or how'd you learn?
Well, I actually learned to drive on a farm because I worked on a farm growing up. So I drove the truck and the tractor before I was actually...
Yeah, you were like 13.
Old enough to drive because I was on the farm, but yeah, I guess I just
you already kind learned, of I guess.
Learned by driving on the roads. I don't know.
I still struggle with the parallel. I connect to that feeling of just saying screw it. I don't need to do this that badly. Let's just get out of here. Track 45. We've covered so much. I feel like we've left stuff out too. We didn't even cover signing the label deal with Stony Creek. How's that happen? Who pulls? How does that come together? I mean, you guys are in big rooms at this point, but like, how's the label deal come together?
So we, like we said, we were here a long time trying to check off these sticky notes that we have on our wall. But one of our big goals was to sign management. And so we signed with Gary Borman and Missy Gallimore 3 years ago. And when we signed with them, that was such a big step for us because they had, obviously, you know, Gary has Keith Urban, among many, many other BGs and Faith Hill and Lady Anvil. I mean, he launched so many different people's careers. So having his wisdom and then Missy Gallimore, obviously maybe the greatest A&R of all time in Nashville, every song for Tim McGraw, Keith Urban, all those people. So we had both of them guiding our careers and that changed everything because they knew the steps we needed to take. They knew like, hey, we need to get in the studio, record these songs are good enough, you need to work on this more. And so we got into the studio after signing with them, we picked our songs out, we recorded them, we had our masters ready to go, and then they we sat down and they said, okay, let's talk about who we want to sign with label wise and the top of our list was actually BBR. And thankfully, when we made the rounds to all the labels,
they were on the same page.
They were on the same page. Yeah,
like so,
yeah, we played their beginning of year meeting of 2020.
Yep.
So last year, and then promptly pandemic hit. And so we like only saw timing. Them over Zoom the rest of the year. But yeah, it was just such a dream come true and such, man, we can't imagine a better place to be. We really love everyone there. And
the
belief they have in us really empowers us.
Why BBR? Why was that top year? I mean, I feel like BBR's got some great, to me, Chris Poole, one of the great A&Rs in town. I don't know if everybody knows this, but I think he is. Yeah. But what about BBR like really pulled you guys into it?
Mm. Well, I think in our first meeting that we played, Sarah Canaby, who's the A&R there, really...
And Chris.
And Chris, yes, yeah. And Chris, yeah, they were both
yeah,
there.
Yeah, let's not write
both,
off Chris.
Just random. No, they were both there, and yeah, and so they really just from the get go, they really understood what we were going for, and they really got our sound, and They honestly just from the start felt like family. And we saw that from the start, that how they do business and how they work with their artist. You know, we feel like everybody in our team, when we add to it, it does feel like you're adding to your family because they represent us, and they felt like a natural fit for us, and we love it.
And we had seen how hard they hustled for their artist and how much they believed in them. And we took note of that, and we wanted that for us too.
Yeah.
As part of our team. So
yeah, they make it work. They've got to make each artist work. Tight roster, big history of big artists.
Yeah, and they're being backed by BMG now. I mean, it's just a pretty powerful combination. So yeah, it's a great place to be.
The home for Track 45. Track 45, they've got a new song out. They've got a new EP coming out, part 3. When's it coming out? Do we have any idea?
Beginning of June.
Beginning of June. So you don't have to wait so long for this.
Not too long, just too a little long. Over a month away.
For all the Track 45 fans listening, it's around the corner. Right. Listen to the old music. Check out these playlists that I'm scrolling through. I might go through a couple of these later today. Who does your branding? Because I think the branding looks really fun. Is it someone at BBR who does it?
Well, yeah, we have
a combination.
Yeah.
Management team and label team.
Yeah,
it's a secret sauce.
I guess so. Yeah, we are not fashion forward people, so we're thankful to have people who understand all that stuff around us. Who can?
Isn't that the best part?
We give our opinion, but thankfully at the end of the day, there's people who are better than us doing that. So
yeah, isn't that the best? Yeah.
We're smart.
That's it. Isn't that the best part of being in ours though? Is like other people can dress you, like they can stylize you, like you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, yes.
Think about it. Yeah.
That's probably the one reason I would want to be an artist, is so people could dress me every day.
Look what they got me in.
As long as I can wear sneakers, I'm happy.
That's it. That's all I want to, dude. I'm so with you. I'm like, this is it. I wear this sweatshirt. Like I probably wore this more days this year than anything else. Like and I have other sweatshirts, but so is this one. Like you find.
I love how you got a Stetson hat. That's a trucker
hat.
The Stetson hat's a keeper too. I've got a couple Stetson hats that I go through. I like the Stetson hats though.
Oh yeah.
They're like kind of ironic. Track 45. We've covered so much here. What have we left out? Have we left anything out?
We're open books. Whatever you think of, we will answer to the best of our ability.
Yeah.
What do you guys are you?
We could brag on Benjamin all day. I mean, he's done so many incredible things, and especially in this past year, he's been killing it. Not just with our, you know, it's been a great year for us, Track 45, but he's written songs for Justin Timberlake, and
I know you really have. I mean, you're like, is that
Lee Bryce? He had Lee Bryce's number one song.
First number one for you.
That's right. Yeah. It was
one of the girls.
Big year. We're happy to have him with us. Yeah.
We'll keep him. We'll keep him around.
He's not bad.
How often do you guys hang out when you're not doing like music stuff? Like, will you guys ever go and grab dinner, just hang? Are you so sick of each other at this point?
It's really funny. People ask us that. And we tell them, we're like, you would be surprised that
we hang out pretty much every day.
We really don't. There are not many days that we don't see each other, because if we're not working, we're having a movie night, or we're
actually like
playing spike ball.
But do you guys ever, like, I never see my siblings, but I feel like once a year we'll all go on a vacation together, like with my family, like with my parents also. But like, do you guys ever go on vacation? Because you're like, our whole life is vacation together. Like, well, I don't need to spend another week somewhere with you.
Need a vacation from each other.
We've done like Disney World trip, Universal. Like, yeah, we definitely
beach trips.
Yeah.
So you still go on vacations together?
Yeah, because it's mostly with our parents. So
it's with the parents.
Parents
are covering it. This is the thing. See, this is so fun. Like, I could never work with my siblings. Like, I love my siblings, but we would never get along. 48 hours is too much with them. But you guys are, well, whatever. We'll chill. We'll hang. It's easy.
Yeah, we've been doing this, you know, since we were teenagers. So we've gotten good at it.
I feel like if we haven't broke up at this point, we're not going to, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I think so.
We've had all the chances in it. Yeah.
It just wouldn't work if we didn't get along. I mean, it's the cool thing is we get to do what we love most with the people we love. So we're pretty blessed.
Yeah.
So cheesy, but
it is funny though. It's funny when you're like, yeah, we're best friends. I'm like, you're not my best friend.
Yeah. Speak for yourself.
Who's your best friend?
Jenna's my best friend, not KK.
Yeah,
who are your favorites?
He would have to deal with being the youngest.
No, being the youngest is the best because you get like both siblings are your favorite or your like my middle sibling and my oldest sibling would always fight, but both of them would always be nice to me.
That is accurate.
Is that the dynamic?
That's funny. That is the
KK is everyone's
she's the favorite,
favorite
and we know it and it's fine.
Yeah. Everyone, the youngest always is the favorite. And guess what? Like they never would have let Jenna go to Nashville at 14.
No.
But with KK, it was cool. They were like, whatever, it's fine. Do whatever you
nailed
want.
It. That's yeah, exactly that's right. True.
Which might also be that they just don't care anymore at that point. Like, I think it's a little bit like, whatever, we're done with this children.
Yeah,
raising
then thing. You gotta be scrappy.
They're just tired and done. They're just like, yeah, you can do whatever.
They're tired and done, basically. What's going on the rest of the day? What's happening? It's 4:30 right now. What's happening the rest of the day?
We have to send some pictures for our final EP coming out here in June. Not say final, next.
Our final.
Next, yeah. EP, the final work from Track 45 before they.
No, not the final.
A huge feud comes and they break up.
Yeah, we just finished writing a couple songs.
Wrote a couple songs. I'm going to get my second COVID vaccine.
Oh, which one are you getting?
I'm getting the Pfizer.
I got the Moderna. Just got it last
week. Yeah, I got my second Moderna this morning.
Oh, you got Moderna?
How are you feeling? I thought you
got Pfizer. It's all right.
The next day I was dead. It killed me, the Moderna second shot. I
had
to cancel my entire day.
Yeah. I'm kind of hoping. But I can cancel my day tomorrow. So hopefully I
you'll be fine. I'm the kind of person who's like, I was a denier. I was like, there's no way this is gonna knock me out. I'm gonna be fine. Everyone's being a baby, like I'll be fine. And I literally cause I feel like mind over matter. If I know I'm not sick, I'll be okay. It's just the shot. I was out. Right. I had to cancel my entire I couldn't get out of bed. It was insane.
Couldn't get
out of bed until 5 o'clock and then I was 100% fine at like 5 o'clock.
Oh really? Scary.
Like I've never,
you couldn't even like play PS4 if you wanted to.
I don't own a PS4, but no, I could, cause you know, for me, and maybe I'm being dramatic, but for me, it was that kind of thing where it was like hard to open my eyes. Like it was painful for my eyes.
Did you take some meds?
I didn't take any meds because I read somewhere that you shouldn't take like Advil the day after. And then I didn't take Advil. And then I was just afraid to take anything else, which was probably irrational, but I wasn't taking any chances. So I didn't take any meds. I just was in bed until like 5 o'clock and then I felt fine. That's my story though. Don't let that be your story. Like who knows? I think everyone's different.
We'll see what happens.
Well,
you'll be fine. You're getting the Pfizer. This is great. Come on. This is minor sacrifices.
Okay. It's fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine.
We're going to be back on the road soon. Anyway, it's all good. Right. Jen, did you get vaccinated also?
I did. Yeah. I haven't had my second one yet. I had the first Pfizer.
Okay.
My second one in like a week.
Okay. Around the
corner. And I was okay. My arm was kind of sore, but most people don't have like a lot of symptoms after their first one, right?
No, my arm was so sore though. I couldn't sleep on that side. I was sleeping. Oh, wow. I'm being a big baby. Yeah. I don't know. I'm over it.
Mine was really sore too.
The shot's not that bad. If you're listening to this and you're undecided, you have to get the vaccine. Yeah, there's no options. You have to get the vaccine. What's the thing? Okay, here we go. Last question. I've kept you guys too long. But what's the thing that you're gonna miss most about quarantine? Because I think there's been some things that I've actually really dug about it. The world's opening up. I don't want to go out and see people as much as I thought I did. What's the thing that you guys are gonna miss most about quarantine?
That is a really tough question. There's not been a ton I loved about quarantine.
Really?
Mostly,
I liked quarantine.
I mean, mostly because I want to get out there and play shows for people.
That's a tough one.
We cannot wait to freaking play live shows.
Yeah.
That's all I can think about right now. What do y'all think?
Wait, he said what are you gonna miss?
I can't think of it.
We still kind of wrote through quarantine.
I took way more walks, I'll say that.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, I took more walks. I read more.
Oh, what'd you read? Anything good?
Yeah, I read a lot of
Brandon Sanderson.
I read a lot of Brandon Sanderson. I read a book called Bear Town that was really good.
Fiction, Bear Town. What is that about?
It's pretty intense.
It's about this Czechoslovakian hockey town.
Yeah, it sounds boring, but it's actually very fast. It's like very interesting.
Did you read it too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I guess.
Is it a true story? What is it?
No, it's
kind of like based on true story type thing. It's just about this like small town that like hockey is the entire town's life. And it's just kind of about this kid who is the star of the hockey team, and he kind of takes advantage of that, and that's kind of the story.
But does he, oh my God, does he like murder someone? Like, what happens in it?
Well, there's a couple books. It's pretty dark. It's pretty dark, so.
What? What is this? Okay, so that's
it. It's really good, but it's dark.
That's a good teaser.
Like, what does that mean it's dark? Like, just spoil it. Like, what happens?
It's
probably not appropriate for your podcast.
You just have to read it. I was just talking about books.
I don't care. There's no appropriate or not appropriate.
Break down a book.
Stick with Brandon Sanderson sci-fi.
For light reads, yeah. Brandon Sanderson.
I like heavy reads. I might read this just so I can connect with what was so dark about this.
But Brandon Sanderson is definitely your go-to beach read. And I read a lot of Brandon Sanderson.
Me too. I read two series, I think.
Probably like.
Oh my God. I've never read a book of his.
Sci-fi.
Sci-fi. Okay. Track 45. You have to listen to the new single, Met Me Now, now on the radio. The third EP is coming out in June. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be hosting a charity kickball event with Avenue Beat.
That's
that
right.
Is going to draw massive crowds and raise a ton of money for
ESPN.
And it's going to raise a ton of money for a great charity. Can't wait for this to happen. I'm putting you guys on the spot.
That's right.
I think this would be really fun, though. I think you guys should do this.
It'll be fun. We're down.
Let's make it happen.
Somebody's got to pitch this. I want to make this happen. Guys, thanks for taking the time this afternoon. It's great to see you all. Can't wait to see you guys live at a show whenever that is next.
We cannot wait. Right. Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah,
this
is
awesome.
So fun.
Thank you so much. You say that, everyone. Thank you for coming on.
But we mean it to you.
You're like, yes, we do, but we mean it this time. That's great to see you guys. Stay well. Hope to see you soon. And take it easy. Let me know how the second COVID vaccine goes.
All right. Sounds good. Right. Thanks, man.
See you guys. There you have it. Track 45. I like those guys. Those guys are fun, right? I feel like we really got to know them a little bit in this interview. I feel like I got to know them a little bit better than I already did. Really got the story, really got some hidden gems of track 45. I'm a big fan. I think those guys are very hip. Very hip. You just look at them and you go, yes, you guys are really hip. Really fun talking about them. Hope you guys enjoyed listening. The Zach Kuhn Show is mixed by Sam Heyman and our theme music is by Justin Johnson. If you want more content from us, you can subscribe to our newsletter at NashvilleBriefing.com or you can follow us on socials, everything at Nashville Briefing. The Zach Kuhn Show is not only brought to you by ZipRecruiter, but it is also part of the American Songwriter Network, and we are proud to be part of it. And let me tell you something else about the American Songwriter Podcast Network. There are some great shows in this network, and I think you should check them out. So you got to go to AmericanSongwriter.com, click the podcast section, and scroll through the other music shows in this network because there's some really great ones, including Surviving the Music Industry, one of my personal favorites, that I listen to on the reg because I'm in the music industry and I'm just trying to survive. You know what I mean? Okay, that's it. Way too much. This is going on way too long. I'm out. Peace out, Girl Scout. We'll see you next week. Bye.